You know, Carl, we broadcast from studios in the eastern part of the United States.
Yes.
And fortunately, and we're very happy that many people listen to us from all quadrants of America.
That's correct.
And we're delighted at that. But in our area, during the wintertime, we have to worry about really heavy, heavy frost.
That's correct.
And when I was a kid, and I grew up in the Northeast, we called it Jack Frost. Did you do that same thing?
No.
No. Well, you lived in the city, so you didn't really get frost on the windows, did you?
No.
Yeah, well, we did where I lived, because, you know, we had these old window panes that they weren't doubled, and, you know, they weren't even clear sometimes in some of the old houses where I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
But in the morning, because of the moisture from your breath in your room where you slept, you would find a coating, a beautiful crystal coating of frost on the lower part of the window panes.
Interesting.
Did you know that? Well, I remember it, and I think about it a lot, and being the poet that I've always chosen to be, I wrote a poem once called Jack Frost, which I'll share with you.
Please.
We much malign a draft of cold slipping round a window old, a chilling dash of winter clime that paints a pain in ice of rhyme. Without the draft and warmth within, the crystal etch could not begin. So let us praise the weathered sash that lets us see a frost panache.
I love it. I love it.
But that's interesting to me that you as a child never had the opportunity to scrape frost off the window.
We had too many holes in the window.
Come on.
See, no, this is very true.
No, come on.
When you have cracks, too much air gets out.
Well, no, I'm talking about that old window. That's how you create the frost.
But we had the steam going, and we had the cracks in the windows, so the air wasn't protected. It was seeping out. It wasn't hitting the window. It was just...
No, neither is he. Not understanding the rime ice creation here.
Yes.
But that's okay. Can we move back into the microphone?
Go ahead.
You don't have to run away.
No. I was just trying to think why. I was trying to explain why we didn't have any frost.
Probably because you lived in a building.
Tenement house.
And the heat from below might have made a difference. Also, you're living in a city, so the radiant heat from the day might have not let... Did you ever get down to really way, way below zero in the city?
No, rarely. It would get very, very cold.
Yeah, I'm talking about temperatures 10, 15 degrees below zero.
Yeah.
And that's when I would see the frost in the morning.
No,
it's fascinating. And it's very nature's artisticness. It's beautiful.
I'm sure it is. And there's a cartoon, a very nice cartoon about Jack Frost making designs on the window for the little girl. There's also a book about that. Our friend Sue Mantle DeChico, in one of her books, has that. If I'm not mistaken, it's her book.
Really? I'll have to ask her, and we'll talk
to her. Ask her. It's about Jack Frost. He's a little elf
that
draws designs on the window.
All right.
I believe it's her problem.
Will do. What else do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about medical advances, because there are so much in medical advances that are coming up, and a lot of it is starting to take place, and this is the year that it will. The blind will see. And there are some points now where scientists can literally, and I've gone for LASIK surgery. And it was quite extraordinary. And it worked. Absolutely extraordinary. It does not last forever. I had it for 10 years, and it was wonderful. The various techniques that they're coming up with that will allow the blind, literally, because of implants, this all goes back to implants, to be able to see for those that could not.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
That's fascinating. And they're getting very close to that. Organ transplants, when my little one was born, the stem cell research with the her afterbirth, if you will call it, that went to a facility in California that's been storing it. And they find by the time she's old enough, that would be a significant part of helping, as an example, in the latest research from the New England Journal of Medicine, to help with heart disease. That's fascinating stuff. They're also working on, we talked about nanotechnology, the implants of certain things for cancer research. They can target cancer now to the smallest microbe, without destroying the tissues in the surrounding area, which has always been the problem with some of these, what they call laser knives. They're not really knives. That now they're so focused, they're so nano-developed, that they can target the most insignificant little speck. My father-in-law had one of those specks, and he wound up losing his, 10 years ago, his entire esophagus. They had to move his stomach up, and he no longer has the flap in the esophageal area. Today, that would be a 15-minute operation.
Hmm.
And that's only 10 years ago. Now, he's still with us and doing very well.
And functions okay?
But yeah, he just doesn't have the flap. He can't lie down because he doesn't have the flap any longer to keep the food in the system.
Okay.
Other than that, he can eat anything. They just moved this entire system up and eliminated the esophageal wall lining.
Wow.
Fascinating stuff. But today, he had just a micro that they felt it would grow, and it probably would have, and it would have killed him. But they had to. That's the only recourse they had 10 years ago. Today, it would be a 15-minute operation. That's fascinating to me. It really is. I find that to be extraordinary. And they're also, my last point is in the area of brain stroke research, where they literally can now using nanotechnology, actually get to those very tough blockages in the brain and prevent them from causing. Many people get TIAs. My sister Margaret has had one, and she survived. It was a
temporary ischemic accident.
Right. It's a minor stroke, very, very minor, okay? And they're called TIAs. And she survived it and is doing well and doing much better. Some people have them during the course of their lives on a regular basis. They do. But now they've noticed that with strokes, severe strokes, if they get to it early enough, even the damage that's been caused can be reversed. Possibly not completely, but they feel that someday it will be. But in this year, coming ahead, with this new dynamic research that is now coming online, they can affect a positive reaction to someone who's had a stroke. As long as they get to it early enough, I think that's absolutely dynamic. And that's part of the nanotechnology change. Literally implants, the biomechanism.
When you speak of nanotechnology, would you define that as you understand it?
Nanotechnology are small elements, small microchips. Okay, my little one is an example who has type 1 juvenile diabetes. They have a thing now that they're very close to finishing called the robotic pancreas. Okay, and it will be inserted so that it actually takes the place of the pancreas. They're some years away from that.
Where does the insulin come from?
But that's a separate attachment which feeds into the unit, but it replaces all the functions of the pancreas, okay, so that you won't have to go through all the testing. Mm-hmm. It does all the things that we are doing now mechanically, okay? And that's fascinating. And there's going to be more of that. As we just very simply for the people that have pacemakers. They've gotten very, very sophisticated. This particular unit would be able to monitor, will be able to see what's going on inside her sugar levels in her body on a 24-hour basis at my home, the doctor's office, the hospital, and so on. We'll all be able to see what's going on inside her body. It's fascinating stuff. And it's all happening right now.
Probably all through some kind of an app.
Yes.
On your smartphone.
That's correct.
Or smart device, whatever you want to call it.
Absolutely.
You know, I was reading an article just the other day that one of the big things for 2015 will be the accumulation of new data in all areas of technology, where that will then be the progenitor of new developments. New devices.
Correct.
New ways of looking at things and perhaps even curing illnesses that you're talking
about.
And
they're also now talking about cancer. And they're getting so very far ahead now in cancer research generally. All kinds of cancer. Pancreatic cancer and so on, which is a killer. Okay? If you don't get the pancreatic cancer in the very beginning, the opportunity for you to survive is
even then, it's tough.
It's very tough. They feel they can do that, and they can do it effectively now with nanotechnology and other elements that they're providing. This is all coming from this surge of data information, as you just mentioned, that's beginning to get scientists. They're finally breaking some of the deadlocks they've had, like muscular dystrophy, the neurological diseases, which includes Parkinson's, which have been the scourge for so, so long. They're finally getting their arms around that, finally, after how many years? Half a century?
You know, it's interesting. We just got our arms around a specific disease and see some kind of possibilities for the future.
Yep.
And new diseases are then discovered. I mean, you've got these this crazy name coming out of South America.
Yes,
Chichimunga or something like that.
Yes, someone mentioned it. And I had no idea what they were talking about. Never heard of it.
Yeah, I didn't either. I was just reading an article the other day about what we could expect if it ever gets here.
Well, once again, that was
hopefully not.
That was part of the Ebola crisis and all the difficulty that took place then. Carl Sabatino, and this is Roland Smith as we continue on with our broadcast. Roland, we're wrapping up and we're into 2015 and we're moving along, and I love every minute of it.
Yeah, me too.
We keep on going. We'll try to stay out of trouble. Do you promise?
No. I know you.
Stay with us. We're back. Carl Sabatino, Roland Smith.
America.
Welcome to American Biker Minute, where you stash your bike in the middle of the winter has everything to do with springtime running condition. Hey, who knows what you'll find next spring?
Warning.
New meaning to the venerable term, barn find. Today on American Biker Minute.
Do you have troubled skin or acne? With Proactive Plus, your acne can heal and you can help prevent new breakouts from happening. Call Proactive Plus now and receive a 60-day risk-free trial along with two free extras and free shipping. Call 800-393-6139. That's 1-800-393-6139.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Depending on where the motorcycle is stored, the biker's new meaning to barn find might be a horde of rodents camping out inside an air filter or an exhaust pipe. Bikemaster makes a good muffler plug, or the FMF with bright red tape so you won't forget to move it in the spring. $5 online. Stuffing the bike with plastic may only encourage the little beggars to build a snug polyester nest, which may be forgotten in the spring at startup time.
Warning.
Uh-oh. American Biker Minute. Your passport to the open road.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This two-time NFL Most Valuable Player went from stocking supermarket shelves to hoisting the Lombardi Trophy as the MVP of Super Bowl 34.
What a pass by Kurt Warner, the first quarterback in NFL history with three touchdown passes in each of his first three starts.
So where is Kurt Warner now? Today, Kurt works as an analyst for the NFL Network, working alongside his former teammate, Marshall Faulk. In 2010, Kurt brought his footwork to the TV show Dancing with the Stars. The following year, the NFL Network produced a documentary called Kurt Warner, A Football Life, based on his incredible journey from store clerk to Super Bowl champion.
Now I really felt like, okay, this is my team. I've earned it, and they're going to follow me as far as I'll take them.
Kurt Warner, one of the best stories in all of sports. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for four rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.